You know, on any given particular day when you're praying the Psalms, you may be feeling great and you may be reading one of the very sad Psalms, you know, Lord, why have you abandoned me? You know, one of those kinds of Psalms. And vice versa. Sometimes you're having a very bad day and then it's a Psalm that's very joyous. It's a good reminder, one, that we're part of the body of Christ, that on any given day, whatever, regardless of what I'm feeling, someone else is perhaps having a very different experience and I'm connected with them. As a Christian, part of the body of Christ through the Eucharist, I'm part of them. By virtue of my baptism, I'm connected with them. And so even if I'm having a great day and I read one of these sad psalms, right, I'm reminded of these rhythms. I'm reminded of the journey of prayer that everybody else is on, this journey with God. And I can pray for those people who are struggling right now, those fellow Christians who are struggling, body, mind, or spirit. So the ups and the downs of the prayer life, I think, are important as well. Welcome back to Deep in Christ. I'm your host, John Mark Groda, here at the Coming Home Network International, and we're back with another conversation about this, our daily task of growing in imitation of and relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. The show is about the journey. We're all about the journey here at the Coming Home Network International, and it's good to be back with you today. So as I've mentioned in other episodes, kind of the pillars I have in mind when I think about our journey of faith and the different aspects of it that we talk about, prayer, virtue, and vocation. Those are kind of three areas I kind of cycle through in talking about this journey. Today, I want to talk about prayer, and I want to specifically talk about the journey of prayer. Obviously, there's all kinds of different aspects of prayer we can talk about on any given day. We can talk about different types, different expressions, different prayers themselves, and the contents of them. But today, I just want to reflect with you on the journey of prayer, right? It's not a one-time thing. It's a journey that we go on. And it's an important topic because it's a necessary part of our Christian life. Every one of us must enter into this journey and persevere in this journey of prayer. Before we get to that topic, I just want to remind you, as always, that this is a production of the Coming Home Network International. We're all about the journey. As I said, we are here and as a network of converts to the Catholic Church, helping others who are making that same journey home. And so we have resources at chnetwork.org. We have a free newsletter. We have online community. We have staff members who, if you reach out and say, hey, I'm on the journey to the Catholic Church and I have some questions, they will reach back out to you. They'd love to talk. They'd love to pray with you and for you on your journey. So check that all out at chnetwork.org. For today, again, we're talking about prayer. And so, as I said, it's a necessary journey that we all have to go on, prayer. And one of the reasons for that is that prayer is not an aspect of the spiritual life. It's not part of our life in Christ. It's not the means by which we enter into the life of Christ. Prayer, as it says in the Catechism, quoting St. Therese, prayer is the relationship with God, with our Lord. Sometimes we think of prayer as a tool, as a means, right? I'll do these things, I'll say these words, I'll go through these motions as a means to enter into a greater relationship with Christ. But the Catechism reminds us that prayer is that relationship. And relationships are journeys. Again, I find it helpful to sometimes compare and contrast our relationship with our divine God and our relationships with other human beings. We can compare and contrast those. There are some similarities, and sometimes they help us to understand the others. We know with our relationships with other people that those relationships are never done. They're never a box that we can check off of our list. They're journeys, you know, our journey with our spouse if we're married, our journeys with our children, with our friends, with our family members. We're never done getting to know someone. We're never done growing in intimacy with them, listening to them, understanding how they feel and how they think. We're never done growing in that close friendship with them. We're never done, perhaps especially, growing in love with them. In other words, our love at the beginning of any relationship has a lot of feelings to it. There's a lot going on as we persevere in any relationship, a friendship, a marriage, a parental relationship. Our love is purified. We truly grow better at putting that person first and truly wanting their greatest good. And so, once again, going back to prayer as the relationship with God, prayer is a journey because our relationship with God is a lifelong journey. I'm going to begin today by looking at a few paragraphs in the Catechism of the Catholic Church on the life of prayer. And so I'm going to begin with a paragraph. Let's see. This is Catechism paragraph 2697. Again, it's at the beginning of this chapter 3 in the section on Christian prayer. And this section is entitled The Life of Prayer. And let me read this first paragraph and then just share a few thoughts with you. Okay. So the Catechism reads, "Prayer is the life of the new heart. It ought to animate us at every moment, but we tend to forget Him who is our life and our all. This is why the fathers of the spiritual life in the Deuteronomic and prophetic traditions insist that prayer is a remembrance of God often awakened by the memory of the heart. We must remember God more often than we draw breath, but we cannot pray at all times if we do not pray at specific times, consciously willing it. These are the special times of Christian prayer, both in intensity and duration." So a few thoughts about that opening paragraph there. Again, in this section, it's not entitled The Journey of Prayer, but really that's what kind of it's talking about here, this life of prayer. It's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing journey. And I love that piece there near the end. You know, we know in Scripture, right, we're called to pray at all times. That's this exhortation that we receive. But you cannot pray at all times unless you pray at specific times. As we think about this journey of prayer, we recognize that we can have a lot of high ideals, we can have a lot of sort of vague kind of hopes and dreams about prayer, but we have to, at some point, make it specific and concrete so that we learn to pray, so that we grow in the discipline of prayer. Again, using a human analogy here, I talk a lot about in terms of my family life, as I'm trying to work on my family life, right? The concept of quality time and quantity time, right? Right, we need quantity time with people. We also need quality time with them. And those two kinds of time spent with people are both important, right? But there is a specific sense in which the quality time is necessary. If you never have quality time with people, in other words, time to just be with the person, to be with them, then the quantity time sort of loses its character. Quantity time overtakes quality time. Another analogy that helps inform that one is just the way that we think of the work week and the Sabbath, right? Why does God command a Sabbath day? Why does He command us to put aside our work and just be with Him, enter into worship, enter into leisure on that day? Well, it's because certainly we're supposed to do those things at all times. We're always to be in the presence of God. We're always to be worshiping and praying. Even when we're working, we should be entering into it as a prayer. But the only way to make all of our work, in fact, everything that we do a prayer, is to have a specific time when, as the Catechism says, we consciously will it. We enter consciously and intentionally into prayer, prayer as prayer, prayer in the supreme sense. And it's by doing that, by setting aside a time for prayer and entering into it deeply and practicing it and sallying forth on that journey of prayer, that then when we go back out into the rest of our lives, which are still supposed to be surrendered to our Lord, still they're operated, they're carried out in light of our faith, that those aspects too can be drawn into our prayer. So again, going back to quality time, quantity time, specific times, we have to, on this journey of prayer, make specific times for prayer. In other words, in order to begin to enter into a whole life of prayer, you know, our specific times of prayer spill out and begin to inform our whole life, okay? Let me read a little bit further here. So this is paragraph 2698. The Catechism continues, "The tradition of the Church proposes to the faithful certain rhythms of praying intended to nourish continual prayer. Some are daily, such as morning and evening prayer, grace before and after meals, the liturgy of the hours. Sundays, centered on the Eucharist, are kept holy primarily by prayer. The cycle of the liturgical year and its great feasts are also basic rhythms of the Christian's life of prayer." So, again, another great paragraph here talking about, along this journey, part of the ways that we enter into this journey is by embracing one of the basic facets of existence that God has created, right? He has created us as human beings. He's created this world around us with certain rhythms, right? We have the rhythm of the day. We have the rhythm of the weeks and the years. We have the night and we have the day, you know, the light and darkness. Even in our own bodies, you know, the science is discovering more and more that the rhythms out there match and inform rhythms in here, our daily circadian rhythms. We live rhythmically, and there's a great mercy to this. You know, I think if we think about this in terms of the journey of life and our ultimate destiny, it's almost as if the Lord gives us these seasons and these cycles to continually rehearse what we're practicing for, right? We practice waking up every morning, being born, you know, entering into life and carrying out our life as faithfully as we can. And then approaching death, approaching night, you know, and we never know when you go to sleep if you're going to wake up again. So we're always kind of rehearsing the grand journey in the cycles of daily life, weekly life, you know, the annual year, the seasons, right? And the church helps us in this regard by giving us, by informing and carrying on from the tradition of Christian history, various ways that these cycles are infused with the life of prayer. And so again, it mentions there, right, daily prayer, right? And we'll talk a bit more about this in a minute, but every Christian really needs to have a commitment, not just a commitment, but a specific plan for a daily life of prayer. Because that's the most basic cycle, the most basic rhythm that we all live through. You know, we wake up every morning and we go to sleep every night at some point. Right. And so that daily rhythm, if Christ is first in our lives, we can say that, but it's putting prayer in a pride of place in that day and guarding that place and practicing it, you know, and tinkering with it if it's not working. That's how we put our faith into action. And so every Christian needs to have a commitment to and a specific plan for daily prayer. And if, again, maybe you've had a strong prayer life, maybe it's fallen off, maybe you're starting from scratch. The point is just to start, right? And start small. Starting small is always better than starting large, because we often start big with big plans that are really carried on by our own motivation, by our own pride to some degree, and it's easy to fall off and get discouraged. Better to start small. You can always build up, but having a daily rhythm of prayer is so important. And again, the catechism mentions a few of those things. I actually love that it mentions prayer before and after meals, because as a father and a husband, you know, trying to lead my family in prayer, I entered into marriage to some degree with a decent prayer life. I had gone to seminary. I'd been in college ministry. I'd had a lot of freedom and free time to have a prayer life. You get married and have children, and suddenly time has to be economized, and you have to kind of learn how to bring other people into your prayer life. And so prayer before and after meals is actually a wonderful way to practice this daily rhythm of prayer. Again, you're going to eat at least a few times a day. And so for Catholics to punctuate those meals with prayer is a great way to habit stack, if you will, to take something that you're already going to do. God has given you this biological imperative to eat, to nourish your body, and that's a good thing. Why not tack on prayer to that as a way to begin entering into this life of prayer, this journey of prayer? Again, the Catechism also mentions there the morning and evening prayer. I think, again, we'll talk a little bit more about this, but I think as a bare minimum, Christians really should consider, you know, having some particular prayer that they begin the day with and some particular prayer that they end the day with, you know, to put those punctuation marks in the day to keep that rhythm. So we'll talk more about that in a bit. But again, so daily, that's one of those rhythms that, in this life of prayer. The church also gives us the liturgical seasons and the holy days and the feast days of the church. You know, every year, we celebrate Advent and we prepare our hearts for Christmas, for the celebration of our Lord's birth. You know, and then a few months later, we enter into Lent, this time of repentance and fasting and considering our mortality, considering our sins, and then entering into Holy Week, where we celebrate, you know, our Lord's passion, death, and resurrection. And so the Lord or the church gives us these liturgical rhythms of life to begin in new ways to bring prayer into all aspects of our life. I mentioned it earlier, but another rhythm that I think is really important is just the weekly rhythm of our work days and then our Sabbath day or our Sunday, the Lord's Day, you know, that we celebrate as Christians now. I think that rhythm is really important, again, because in theory, right, we're exhorted to pray at all times. And in theory, ideally, eventually, what we're working towards is that our whole week, all of our time is surrendered to God. All of our time is prayer, even whether it's specific times of prayer or just bringing all of our activities into the presence of God. That's our ideal, to be praying and praising the Lord at all times. to be doing everything in His sight and in His presence and with our eyes on Him, our minds on Him. That's the ideal. We're working there, right? But the way we get there is, once again, as the Catechism said, we have to have specific times to pray if we're hoping to pray at all times, if we're working towards that goal. And so from the beginning, the Lord gave us this exhortation, this commandment, right, to keep the Lord's day holy, right? We keep the Sabbath day holy. And by having a holy day of the Sabbath where we set aside our power, right, our work, the ways that we want to improve our lives and build ourselves up and do the good things that God has put us to, again, all good stuff, but to put that aside for a day and devote it entirely to prayer and to relationship, right? The journey of prayer, the relationship with God, as well as our relationships with other people. We, by doing that, by making that specific commitment and practicing it and working on it and getting better at it, we change. We become the kind of people who throughout the rest of the week, even while we're working, even when times are tough, even when, you know, we're very busy, that our minds and our hearts stay on God and stay open and open in love to each other. I think that's one of the functions of the weekly rhythm of prayer, of the work and the Sabbath informs, it spills out into our work. You know, I mentioned there, you know, the difficult times. You know, another, I think, way to think of the journey of prayer and the rhythms of our life in terms of prayer are just simply the reality in the spiritual life, right? That there's going to be times of consolation and desolation, to use the church's technical terms there. Times that we feel good, times that we're excited, we're motivated, we really feel God's grace, we kind of feel that we have this momentum in our lives, things are going well, and our prayer very naturally turns, if we pray, very naturally turns to gratitude and praise and adoration, Lord, you're so good. But we also have those times in our lives, and we will, right? Those times in our lives when we don't feel God's presence. And perhaps things aren't going as well. Perhaps we're a little overwhelmed. We're a little busy. We can't quite see how it's all going to work out. We're tempted, perhaps, to discouragement, perhaps even to despair. And those rhythms of life, those rhythms of prayer are important as well. Because again, it's precisely in those times that, in some sense, prayer is even more important, right? Where our faith that made sense when the light was shining, now we have to put it into action when times are dark. This is one of the reasons why the ancient practice of the church of praying the Psalms is such an important practice. You know, we pray the Psalms in Mass, we pray the Psalms in the Liturgy of the Hours, which is this universal prayer of the church that religious and laity are encouraged to pray by the church. But it primarily involves praying through and reflecting upon the Psalms. And of course, if you're familiar with the Psalms, you know that there are happy Psalms and there are sad Psalms. You know, on any given particular day when you're praying the Psalms, you may be feeling great and you may be reading one of the very sad Psalms. You know, Lord, why have you abandoned me? You know, one of those kinds of Psalms. And vice versa. Sometimes you're having a very bad day, and then it's a psalm that's very joyous. It's a good reminder, one, that we're part of the body of Christ, that on any given day, whatever, regardless of what I'm feeling, someone else is perhaps having a very different experience, and I'm connected with them. As a Christian, part of the body of Christ through the Eucharist, I'm part of them. By virtue of my baptism, I'm connected with them. And so even if I'm having a great day and I read one of these sad psalms, right, I'm reminded of these rhythms. I'm reminded of the journey of prayer that everybody else is on, this journey with God. And I can pray for those people who are struggling right now, those fellow Christians who are struggling, body, mind, or spirit. So the ups and the downs of the prayer life, I think, are important as well. Once again, in light of all that, in light of this journey of prayer and these various rhythms of life, again, it's imperative that every Christian have not just a vague general intention to pray, but have a specific concrete plan to pray. Once again, as the Catechism says, we cannot pray at all times if we do not pray at specific times. And so I'd encourage you, if you don't have one, to begin kind of writing down a plan of life, a rule of life, for how you're going to pray at specific times. And we can think of those various cycles, right? We've got the daily rule, which I think is perhaps, you know, one of the most important pieces to begin with. But then also our weekly rule of life, you know, how we pray throughout the week, and then how we obey that commandment to keep the Lord's day holy, right? And then even beyond that, you know, how do my spouse and I, how do our family practice the holy days, the feast days, the liturgical seasons. And I'll say that as a family, developing those traditions and practicing them and mixing and matching, you know, over time is one of the great joys of family life, you know, as a Catholic family, right? Learning to celebrate Christmas and accumulating the different prayers that we say, the different practices, the different, you know, fasts and ways of preparing for Christmas and Easter are all really great things. And so, but begin writing those things down. Get specific. Again, it can always change. It's a journey. Prayer is a journey. And so you got to take a first step, but then the main thing is then to persevere. I want to move on to the next paragraph there in the Catechism. Just one more for today. This is a paragraph 2699, and it reads, "The Lord leads all persons by paths and in ways pleasing to him, and each believer responds according to his heart's resolve and the personal expressions of his prayer. However, Christian tradition has retained three major expressions of prayer: vocal, meditative, and contemplative. They have one basic trait in common: composure of heart. This vigilance in keeping the word and dwelling in the presence of God makes these three expressions intense times in the life of prayer." So a few things from that paragraph. I think most importantly, again, this section that I've just been reading through and reflecting on with you is sort of the preface. It's the opening introduction to this section of the Catechism on the life of prayer. And the sections after it go into those three expressions of prayer that the Catechism just mentioned: vocal prayer, meditative prayer, and contemplative prayer. And I'm going to do some follow-up episodes and talk through those three expressions. But for now, I just want to point out that these are three different expressions of prayer. That's one way to think of them. But they also describe the journey of prayer itself. Because again, we have to start specific and concrete as human beings. And so we begin the life of prayer in a bodily way, right? We begin with words. We begin with memorizing prayers, or whether consciously or just, you know, osmotically from the what we hear in our families, what we hear happening around us. We pray with our hands. We pray with our knees. We do things externally. We do things with our bodies. We begin with vocal prayer, this active prayer of speaking to God, right? That's how the prayer life begins. And we never lose that aspect of prayer. But as we go deeper in prayer, we're drawn up into these other forms of prayer, right? As we go deeper into vocal prayer, whether it's, you know, reciting the great prayers of the church, the Lord's Prayer, the Hail Mary, the Rosary, Liturgy of the Hours, those kinds of things, what we're saying to God, we go deeper into that. We enter more deeply into those words. We begin to meditate on them, right? We begin to think more deeply and enter more deeply and gain a deeper understanding by experience, you know, by the experiences of our lives, deeper understanding of what those mean, what we're really saying to God. And we can then intend them and reflect on them even deeper. We go into this meditative prayer. But ultimately, of course, the journey of prayer, to some degree, is moving from this active to this receptive sort of prayer. And that's this contemplation. And we'll talk more about that in a later episode. But contemplation really is then the God's gift of himself in prayer. Right, we go to prayer and we give ourselves to God. We praise him, we thank him, we repent, we ask for what we need. Right, all those different types of prayer, those different expressions, all these vocal prayers, whether we're using our lips or we're speaking internally, you know, in our mind to God. Vocal prayer is a beginning point, but it opens us up to meditation, to thinking deeply, to kind of going on this quest in our mind to understand the Lord more. But ultimately, we're disposing ourselves, we're opening ourselves up to the deeper forms of prayer, which really then hinge more on what God is doing rather than what I'm doing, what God is saying rather than what I'm saying. You know, contemplative prayer, again, you can describe it in many different ways. The great spiritual writers of the church have talked about it and talked about their experiences of it. But contemplative prayer is more about being in the presence of God, receiving from him, listening to him. And again, as I said, the journey is cumulative. These kinds of prayer build on each other. We'll never leave vocal prayer behind, but what we're doing as we grow, as we take our active human steps on this journey of prayer, we make ourselves more available, more open, more receptive to the gifts that God wants to give us in prayer, the gift of his presence, the gift of intimacy with himself. That's what he's calling us to. but it begins with our feeble steps to say yes to his grace. And then as we go, we make ourselves more open to his gift of himself, his gift of presence. And that's this contemplative prayer, this mysterious, mystical sort of prayer that, again, while the great saints talk about this, the great spiritual writers talk about it, and it can sound high and lofty, it's what we're all called to. As Christians, we're invited and called up to be in this intimacy with the Trinity. That's this amazing thing that God sends his Son. His Son becomes incarnate. He gives us the church. He gives us the sacraments to be near to us, to give himself to us. And so this sort of prayer, this intimacy with Christ in prayer, it's what we're all called to. But again, as the Catechism says, if we want to pray at all times, if we want to pray, if we want to be open to this deeper sort of prayer, this openness to Christ pouring out his grace and his presence to us, we have to begin with being specific and concrete and human. And so we start with vocal prayer. We start with the life of prayer, the rule of life by which we make specific times to be in God's presence, to speak to him, and to learn. Again, body, mind, and spirit, learn to listen. Near the end of that paragraph that I read a little earlier, another piece that I wanted to point out there, again, it notes those three expressions of prayer: vocal, meditative, and contemplative prayer. But then it makes note of the fact that they have, I'm quoting here, they have one basic trait in common: composure of heart. I think this is a really important point here as we talk about different kinds of prayer, that, again, it doesn't just come down to words or to rituals or to movements. It's not just what we're saying. It's what we're doing as a whole being, right? What does it mean to compose your heart, this composure of the heart? Well, to compose is to, you know, to come together, to put in order, to put in place. And so I think one thing we want to think about in terms of this whole journey of prayer is that as a result of sin, we as human beings are disintegrated, right? God has given us a human nature. He created us. We're whole. We're integrated. And then as a result of sin, we are disintegrated. Body, mind, soul, emotions, passions, thoughts. You know, we're a scattered mess. You know, in our hearts, as the scripture says, right? I do the things I don't want to do. I find that I'm a divided man in my heart of hearts. So we're disintegrated people. And so one of the primary components of all kinds of prayer is that regardless of what we're saying, whether it's a prayer of thanksgiving or adoration or supplication, or we're meditating, whatever it is, one of the primary things that we're doing as a whole being is that we're bringing ourselves together. We're composing our hearts and lifting them up to God. And that's a really important thing to keep in mind because, again, thinking about the journey of prayer, that's what we're practicing. And that's one of the primary things that we want to see changing over time. We want to get better at composing ourselves before the Almighty God. The words, the prayers, the scriptures all can be a great help to that. But sometimes we need to even kind of like mix those up a little bit because we get in too much of a rut. And we need to remember that the primary thing we're doing in prayer is composing ourselves before God. Right. Sometimes we're saying too much and we need to quiet down a little bit. Sometimes we're praying too fast if we're praying a rote prayer, a memorized prayer. We need to slow down and remember that this key component here, this basic trait in common, is this composure of heart. And this idea of prayer, you know, as this growth in the ability to compose oneself and bring oneself as a whole being, a whole integrated being before our Lord, again, body, mind, and spirit in the presence of God. It really, again, this, I think, really helps us to see prayer as a journey, why prayer is such a journey. Because, again, it's not just a one-time thing, right? We don't just thank God once. We don't just adore him once or ask for help once. We continually do those things. But perhaps even deeper than that, it's by doing those things that we're practicing virtue, right? We're practicing being the kind of person who does those things, right? When we thank God and when we thank him over and over again, if as part of that thanksgiving, we are composing our hearts before God, then what we're practicing is not just the act of giving thanks, but the virtue of gratitude. In other words, being the kind of person who is grateful, whose gratitude just naturally comes from our hearts. The first time we thank God, or just as many times when we thank other people, we do it as a duty, and that's fine. That's good. That's a starting place. That's the specific, concrete starting place. But by practicing it over time, and especially practicing it as an integrated being, bringing all parts of our being together, is that we grow in the virtue, the habit of soul of gratitude. We become a grateful person. And so this is this great connection between prayer and the life of virtue, the journey of prayer and the journey of virtue. As I've talked about elsewhere, and I'll keep talking about it in this series on prayer, right? These two aspects of our lives are inseparable, right? Our relationship with God and our transformation to be in the image of Christ. Right? We can only be in relationship with God to the degree that we allow him to convert us, that we allow him to change us, to transform us. And so there's always this yin-yang, there's always this balance, this tension between the active side of our life, our conversion, our transformation, our change, our choices, and then I suppose the receptive, the prayer aspect of our life, where we go to God and we're changed by him. Those are inseparable. I want to read a quick quote here. This is by Father Thomas Dubay in his book, Deep Conversion, Deep Prayer, which is really a whole book, a great book about this dynamic, the life of conversion and prayer, these two things. He writes, "There is a mutual intercausality between deep conversion and deep prayer. They are not merely juxtaposed, one next to the other. Each one helps to bring about the other. The more we are rid of our egocentrisms, the more we are open to the divine infusions of love and intimacy. As St. Paul puts it, we are transformed from one depth of beauty to another, a gift of the indwelling spirit, 2 Corinthians 3:18. In the other direction, a progressively deepening of prayer furthers our purification from venial sins. The journey of prayer is inseparable from the journey of continual conversion to Christ. If you want to get better at prayer, right? If you're struggling in this journey of prayer, I can't seem to focus. I don't feel God's presence. I'm having a hard time bringing myself together to pray. Well, sometimes it's connected to, well, we need to make moves in our life of conversion. I need to make specific choices to change my life to be more in line with Christ, and vice versa. If we're having trouble changing our lives, turning our lives over to Christ, getting rid of addictions, you know, dealing with our sin, making those changes, well, it's almost always the answer is that we need to go deeper in prayer because it has to all be coming from this life of prayer. These two halves of our life, the side of prayer and the kind of the active side, the conversion, the living out of the Christian life, they're intimately connected. And then again, I think that's why part of how we understand the character of the journey of prayer is that it's also this journey of virtue, that when we thank God, we're also practicing being a person of gratitude. We're changed. Like we certainly thank God. We do that act, but we also become different by our thanksgiving. We adore God, but we become different by our adoration. We grow in humility because we are humbling ourselves before God. We are praising what is praiseworthy in God. And so we're becoming the kind of person who recognizes and praises what is praiseworthy. We ask God for help. And again, in doing so, we're practicing humility. We're practicing reaching out. We're practicing being in communion. When we repent, once again, we're practicing turning to the truth of who we are and what we've done and how much we need God. In all the forms of prayer and all the expressions of prayer, this common thread, as it said in the Catechism, is this composure of heart. And whenever we're doing that in the various kinds of prayer, the various expressions, the various petitions of prayer, we are practicing virtue. We're practicing being a different kind of being. I guess as a final note here, again, just building off that note, we want to imitate Christ, right? Well, Christ was a man of prayer. In his human nature, he was a man of prayer. He made time for prayer. He went out into the wilderness. He went into solitude to spend time with his Father. And so we want to imitate that practice. That's why we need to have a rule of life. We need to have a plan. We need to practice praying. But we also need to remember that that journey is not just speaking like Christ, but by the practice, by growing in these virtues, becoming like him, thinking like him, having a heart like him, having a heart that naturally pours forth into works of mercy and love like he does. That all begins in prayer. But it's a journey. And so, again, hopefully some of that was helpful today. Again, prayers is this journey. It's got many facets. We're going to talk about some of them, I think, in an upcoming episode or two or three. I'll go through some of those expressions of prayer. We'll dig into those a little bit more deeply: vocal prayer, meditative prayer, contemplative prayer. But for now, again, key takeaway points. If we want to pray at all times, we need to pray at specific times. We need to have a plan. We need to run that plan. And the most important thing about prayer is to show up and to not give up, right? We can easily become discouraged in the journey of prayer when it's not going the way that we plan, the way we anticipate. But the key is to persevere, because once again, it is a journey. Prayer is a journey. Prayer is this relationship with God, and it is a journey. So it's great to be on that journey with you. We'll be back again next week with another conversation about this journey in Christ, this journey of prayer. I want to remind you again that if you go to chnetwork.org, we have a newsletter for you. We have all kinds of resources to help you on your journey of discovering Christ's church and continuing this journey of prayer, of life in Christ. So God bless you. See you again next week.